We're talking about the life of Christ on Sunday morning. And in our study, we're a little bit earlier in our study than we are in our year. This is approximately the time of year that Jesus was raised from the dead. You know, that's something I can't say about December 25th as being his birthday. Because we have no idea. But the crucifixion of Jesus occurred on the Passover day. The Jews still celebrate those particular Passovers each year. Now, I forget whether they got a new calendar or whatever, but they just celebrated that on Friday. And Jesus died on the cross on Friday. You can imagine what was going, back at that time, what was going through the minds of those apostles. Those 12 men, well, we know what was going through the mind of one of them, because he has already betrayed Jesus, and therefore Jesus was caught in the Garden of Gethsemane, taken by force and run through a bunch of trials that weren't even legal. Trials back at that time weren't held at night. And he went before different tribunals, Annas, Caiaphas, Pilate, Herod. Ultimately, Pilate had to say so, and he kind of wanted to wash his hands of the whole thing. But those 12, they'd been with him, 12 apostles. He specifically chose them for a job. And they had gone around, John the Baptist ahead of them, teaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Always talking about the kingdom. And Jesus, they even had talked about the kingdom so much that James and John's mother wanted one of them to be on his right hand in kingdom, one of them to be on the left hand. They did not understand the kingdom. Even up until Acts chapter 1, Jesus had been raised, ready to ascend back to the Father, and the question was asked, will you at this time restore your kingdom? They didn't understand that particular thing. They knew he was the Son of God. They knew the power that he had. But can you imagine as he was upon the cross? Now, we don't know how many of them were anywhere near. John is thought to have been near because Jesus spoke from the cross and said, Son, behold thy mother. Mother, behold thy son. And we find that, I believe, in John's record. It's in John's record that we also find the words that he writes in John 20, 30, and 31, where he says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written here. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name or have eternal life. Now that book was written many years later. But even John at the foot of the cross, I don't know, John, I suppose, then took Jesus' mother into his care, but he was later with the apostles as Jesus appeared to them. But back to what did they think at the time of the crucifixion on the cross? I think that their world was shattered. Their world was shattered. They were confused as to what this third day meant. 3 days, this temple will be raised. He could destroy the temple. 3 days it would be raised. This couldn't happen to him. Peter, of course. I mean, he denied Jesus 3 times. And in Gethsemane, he was going to make sure they didn't take his Lord. He had a sword on him. Peter was ready, if anybody was ready. Malchus was not ready. Malchus lost an ear. Jesus restored it. The disciples fled. They were going back to fishing, if that's what their former occupation was. So they had no idea, no more idea than the man in the moon as to what was going to happen next. He's on the cross. None of the apostles even went to ask Pilate, can we have his body and bury him? It was Joseph of Arimathea. It was Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews that came to him by night to take care of the body of Jesus and bury him in Nicodemus or in Joseph's tomb. Now, there was a big rock rolled into place. I'm told that those rocks were huge, heavy, and that there was a somewhat of a groove or a slot that this rock was rolled down into place in front of this tomb, and it would take a lot of people, strong people, to move that rock back up from in front of that tomb if you were going to go in and get that body. Besides that, a Roman seal was placed on that stone, and a Roman guard was on duty. So consequently, later when they tried to disprove that Jesus actually was raised from that tomb, they came up with all kinds of stories. They had to find people that would lie. They weren't ready for that Sunday morning. Some folks are not ready for this Sunday morning. They're not ready for Jesus and what he can do for you. They were not ready for Jesus and what he could do for them on that Sunday morning. On the first day of the week, Luke 24, verse 1. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? Maybe they do remember. They didn't know what it meant, but maybe they did remember. And they remembered the words, verse 8. And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. You know, when I first read that again, after not reading it a while, I thought maybe some of the 11 were the ones that went to the tomb. But I had read from John 20 also, and it was the women. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales. You know. And they believed them not. Still discouraged, aren't they? Bewildered. They were let down by this man who had them with him for three and a half years. They ate with him. They drank with him. They lay down on the ground at night and slept wherever they could find a place to sleep, somebody's home. Then Peter rose, ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down there, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed, wondering to himself at that which had come to pass. He wondered. I suppose they were all wondering. Nobody else got, well, John says that other disciple whom Jesus loved also came, which would be John. The resurrection of Jesus. This morning I want us to look at the resurrection of Jesus, maybe from a little bit different perspective than we have in the past. It'd be the purpose to examine the conviction of these apostles and their testimony going forth to see if there's some proof in their lives, the number of them and their unity, that would be credible enough to for us to say, well, yes, they believed that Jesus was the only way, the only thing that could have changed them would have been if Jesus was raised from the dead. So have in mind now that the apostles are discouraged. They didn't run. Peter and John, I think John got there before Peter did, according to John's account. The others were, I guess, still waiting back, wherever they were waiting, or sitting around or deciding what they were going to do with the rest of their lives. But we're going to look at these apostles and see what happened after the crucifixion of Jesus. Is there a testimony or proof of the resurrection? I know that we all believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God, so we believe that everything there is the truth. But we can also think about some things as we talk to others. We can increase our faith. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. We should never put ourselves in a place where we say, you know, I know everything there is to know about the Bible. I don't have to read the Bible. We need to make a concerted effort, a diligent effort. Give diligence to show thyself approved unto God, Paul said in writing to Timothy. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth. This is part of the word of truth that we need to rightly divide. Let's think about it. Luke wrote to Theophilus, with great power gave the apostles their witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. With great power gave they their witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Acts 4:33. The power by which they taught was so great that Luke also added that great grace was upon them all. God's favor was upon all of these apostles and what they did. Now, sometimes we don't like this idea of witnessing. When we think of witnessing, we think of somebody getting up before a congregation or getting up before a class and giving a, quote, testimony of what God has meant to them in their lives or whatever. This is not a story like that as far as these men are concerned. This, the biblical idea of witnessing is this. In John 15:27, number one, John had this to say, or had this to write. John 15 and verse 27. And I don't have it marked, so you'll get there probably as quick as I will. 15:27. And ye also, Jesus speaking to the 12, ye also shall bear witness because you've been with me from the beginning. These men were with him from the beginning. So if there was somebody going to write about or speak about Jesus, these would be individuals who would have credibility to do so, wouldn't they? These would be people that we could rely on because they had been there from the beginning. I don't know whether there were very many days when they were not together. If you're together with somebody every day of every hour of every day for every week for 3 to 3.5 years, you're going to be pretty close after that. You're going to know that person. Now, you'll see why I'm saying this over and over again a little bit later. The biblical idea of witness that carries with it the power of confirmation or proof, Matthew 18:16. Because they could go out and say Jesus is the Son of God. But anybody could have gone out and said Jesus is the Son of God. Now, they were able to perform miracles which did confirm that what they said was true. They were told by Jesus that in addition to them being able to remember to an extent what Jesus had said, they would be brought into remembrance of what he said and led to all truth by the Holy Spirit, which they would be given. Whom they would be given in Jerusalem with power, and that power came and the Holy Spirit came upon them in Acts chapter 2, that 50th day after Jesus' resurrection. The apostles' testimony, what they said then, carried with it an idea of being proved. Now, what about believing in Jesus because of what these apostles saw and what they said? Well, that's the way individuals became Christians in the first century. These men went forth and preached. Jesus said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. That was Jesus' commission. I'm not going to be around anymore, young men of the apostleship or the disciples here. You're going to have to go forth and get it done. And there were other leaders, the apostle Paul and one of Jesus' brothers at least, and maybe two of them that would go forth and teach, and others went everywhere preaching the word. But these apostles is what I'm interested in right now, this morning. The belief based upon the apostles' testimony. Now, Christianity was not based upon emotional subjectivism. The idea that, this is what I feel. These apostles didn't go forth with their preaching and teaching, and we'll examine some of it in just a minute, with the idea, this is what I believe, this is what I feel happened. They didn't do that. It wasn't the idea of that, because their witnessing had to do with testifying on behalf of someone else with a view toward confirming that what they said was the truth. So they, when they went forth and said, we want you to believe in Jesus Christ, that would fall empty unless they could back it up. You know what they could say? We were with him three and a half years, and we were there, and I know we were backpedaling when he was taken to the cross. I know we scattered when he went to Gethsemane, and they took him away. But do you hear how I spoke, Peter said, on the day of Pentecost? Did you see, and do we now see the power with which these men spoke in the book of Acts? We'll look at that in just a few minutes. Jesus declared that the basis for believing in him rested solidly on the apostles' word. Listen to what he said about these apostles in Acts, or in John 17, verse 20. John 17, verse 20. He said, neither I pray I for these alone, that is, these apostles, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. We have the words of those apostles. Matthew, John were apostles. Mark and Luke were not apostles, but were close to apostles and were guided by the Holy Spirit. We have the Peter's words in the book of Acts. We have Paul's words. Paul was an apostle. A later apostle, you might say, and he saw Jesus on the road to Damascus. That light came to him. Jesus spoke to him. Jesus couldn't have spoke to him if he was still in a tomb in the city of Jerusalem. So immediately Paul knew, or after thinking while he was blind for 3 days, he came to the conclusion, yes, Jesus was raised from the dead. I mean, it would have been easy for someone as scholarly as Paul to figure that out. It would be easy for anybody to figure out if they heard a voice and a light. They saw a light and they were blind. And then who is it, Lord? Jesus told them. Believing without seeing is not blind faith. You remember when Jesus started appearing after his resurrection? He started appearing to the apostles. And he appeared to all of them saving Thomas, of course, Judas. Judas had kind of gone by the wayside, and somewhere along that he goes out and kills himself. But Jesus is then with the apostles, and Thomas is with them. Thomas. Sometimes I get these names mixed up when I start talking fast. Thomas is the one I'm looking at. What about Thomas? Well, we call him Doubting Thomas. You know, kind of, Thomas was Doubting Thomas. Well, he was the only one of those 11 that didn't see him. I would say there would have been 11 doubting Thomases, if the others had not already seen him, because when the women came to them, all of them doubted. When Peter and John came to the tomb, all they saw what happened. I mean, they saw the results of what happened, but they still didn't know what happened or why. They were still just puzzled. So we'll ease off of a little pressure off of doubting Thomas. But what did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. Oh, he was quick to come around once he saw the nail prints in his hands. And he saw the wound in his side from which water and blood had gone. He believed, my Lord and my God. Now, you could say, well, it might not have been the same person. Now you know why I said they were within three and a half years, day in and day out. You've got to know who that person is. You know that the person that went to the cross, the one you were with three and a half years, is the same one you saw after it had been placed him in the tomb and wound around all those spices. Somebody says as much as 100 pounds. And wound them around and around and around, and they knew he was dead. That was those soldiers' job. He was dead when he came off that cross. He was alive when he came forth from that tomb. And once Thomas saw, he believed, just like the other apostles. When they saw it, they believed. Now they're going forth, and they'll go forth with more vigor and vitality now, won't they? They're no longer thoroughly discouraged. Oh, they're still confused. They're going to have to be guided by the Holy Spirit into the truth. They're still confused about the kingdoms. I mentioned, if you look at the first few verses of Acts chapter 1. But Jesus said, because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. So there were those who heard from some credible person that Jesus had been raised, and they believed. And then Jesus blagged on them. Well, the question we might ask, why should we believe in Jesus? We didn't see him. We weren't there. Well, we usually accept as true anything that a credible witness or two witnesses or three witnesses. If you have an accident, you know, you want two or three witnesses so you can get the, hopefully get the full story. But we accept that as true. And Peter encouraged the people of his day who were going through a lot of temptations, a lot of trials, a lot of fiery tests. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 8, he tells them about these tests of their faith. He talks to them about it. He says, not having seen ye love, on whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable. So they still had a great hope, based upon their faith, that Jesus Christ was God's Son, and that he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as God said he would, and just as he said he was. Theirs was not a blind faith. Well, we want to look at some scriptures briefly. Three scriptures. If you have your book of your Bible, that's the only book we're talking about here today. The book, the Bible, looked at Acts chapter 2. We'll be looking at Acts 2, 3, 4. Or 2 and 4. Acts chapter 2, begin with verse 22. Peter is in the midst of his, or he's beginning his sermon, recorded the sermon we have, to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, many of whom were there when Jesus was crucified. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you, how? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was God's plan. Oh, yes, Pilate wouldn't let him go, or would let him go, but you said crucify him, crucify him. Ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, Peter says. Boldness. Let's suppose that you were there on that day of Pentecost and you, I can't do this. I know I'm an apostle, but I can't do this. I don't believe he was raised. Yes, they believed. These men believed what they saw. They believed what they taught. They were eyewitnesses. Now, if you're a lawyer and you get in a court and or you're in a court case and you got an eyewitness that stands up and speaks on your behalf, you got a good chance of winning. Eyewitness is the best. Hearsay evidence, you know, a little suspect sometimes. But verse 24 takes the sting of the crucifixion away as far as the people concerned whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it. Look at Acts 4:19-20. The apostles continued to preach and teach, although they're told not to. Peter and John are called here in Acts 4, called before the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews of that day in the city of Jerusalem. And so they're speaking and preaching and teaching, and the members of Sanhedrin said this, so that it spread no further, verse 17 of chapter 4, among the people, let us straightly threaten them, and that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them, commanded them, they were in prison, commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Well, that ought to stop them. Not these men, not these convicted men, not these believers. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. We cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. As far as they were concerned, case closed. You put me in prison, you kill me, you do whatever you want to do. Jesus was raised from the dead, and I believe it. And I teach it. 1 John chapter 1. After Hebrews and James and 1st and 2nd Peter. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard. This is John the Apostle. Which we have seen with our eyes. One of the inner three of Peter, James, and John. Which we've looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested. We've seen it and bear witness and show it unto you that eternal life which was with the Father was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you. These men were brave souls. Stephen had been killed probably by this time, Acts chapter 7. Many others. That you also may have, he says, fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now briefly, we're going to look at three things about these apostles, and then the lesson is yours. When we look at these, the testimony of these men, let's think about it. If I was a lawyer in court, I would say, Judge, I want you to look at their number. And I want you to look at their unity. And I want you to look at their lives. They numbered 12. Okay? But Judas was replaced by Matthias in Acts chapter 1. Having the same credentials, the same qualifications as the other apostles. Having been with Jesus from the beginning of his ministry. Usually it takes only one person of reliable character or credibility to speak about the good character of another person. So if you get one or two witnesses, you've got a good case going. He's with 12. I don't have enough fingers. I have to take my shoe off and just, you know, to even get 12. There were 10 plus 2, 12. Yeah, your witnesses would number the same as your jury in most cases. Judge, I have a good case. These are 12 witnesses whose reliability is established because of their lives of hardship. It came about, this hardship, as a direct result of their preaching and teaching about this Jesus. About their unity. There was no disagreement among these apostles. We don't have them saying, no, John, you got that wrong. You know, I was gone that week on vacation, you remember? I went back out fishing. And no disagreement. They agreed. Look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we see basic agreement in all. Some of them have a little bit different aspects of some events, but they agree. 12 men observed Jesus, like I mentioned, for a period of three and a half years. They had, after he was raised from the dead, they had 40 days in there between, his resurrection and between the day that he ascends back to the Father. And there's 10 more days before the Pentecost, which Peter preaches. So 40 days. During that 40 days, there's over 10, 11 appearances that we see of in the Bible. But I'm convinced that they probably with Jesus on and off probably for that, most of that 40 day period. They knew that the one was raised from the dead was the one that was crucified and placed in that grave. Proof of the resurrection. Good proof. Good evidence. They had observed Jesus close up too. They didn't see him across the street. Say, well, I think it was him, you know, but, it was at night and there were, the lights were down the street, you know, the lamp posts were down the street and it's a little dark right there, and I can't be for sure, you know. It looked like him. What about their lives? Oh, man, they were disgruntled, discouraged, in disarray at the crucifixion. But what about when he started preaching? In the face of being put in prison, Peter says, they said, you know, don't go out and speak anymore. Peter said, we are too. We can't help but speak the things we've seen and heard. And they went ahead. In James, Acts chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, the brother of John was beheaded by Herod. Tried to get Peter. Peter was placed in prison. The angel came and opened up the prison gates and Peter just walked out. I don't know whether you would call it an escape or not. He just walked out. He wasn't there anymore. And they went on their way. Peter was an elder in the church according to 1 Peter chapter 5. So as time went on, they continued to do the things that they did and they did them with boldness. Threats to their lives on many occasions, the death of James, imprisonment, none of this stopped them. They continued to boldly proclaim the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. We see great strength in the number, in their number, their unity, in their lives, and that's the real force behind the statement made by Luke that we read earlier, Acts 4:33. With great power gave the apostles their witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And today, as we go forth and teach others, we need to be so convinced of the resurrection of Jesus. You see, we don't believe in a Jesus Christ. We don't believe in a Son of God whose bones will one day be found by some of those archaeologists. Not too long ago, in the paper, it talked about some archaeologists that had thought they'd found the tomb of Jesus and his bones. We need to have the faith to be able to say, you know, they ought not have newspapers that have got no more sense than that to write that foolishness. As Christians, we know, we don't hope. We know in whom we have believed. And we're persuaded that he's able to keep that which is committed against us against that day. We have that hope of heaven. As John said, he wrote what he wrote that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing we might have life in His name. We have that hope because we believe in the one they call Jesus. And if He wasn't raised, you need to read 1 Corinthians 15 about verse 10 or 12 on to the rest of the chapter. We are of all men most miserable. If He was not raised to the dead, you might as well get out of here. You've wasted the last hour. You could have been warming up on the golf course or got into McDonald's early for lunch. Louis W. Stokes wrote some words I want to read this time as we close our lesson. Entitled, Come Forth. Before the tomb, Christ stood one day and dried the people's tears away. And He spoke forth in mighty voice that made Judea's hills rejoice. Come forth. Inside the tomb, Christ lay one morn, dedicated or defeated, seeing salvation torn. But God the Father spoke the word. And this He said, though no man heard, come forth. Inside the tomb of sin I lay, the price of sin I had to pay. But Christ, the raiser of the dead, spoke to my poor bound soul and said, come forth. When the great and final sound shall raise our loved ones from the ground, 'twill be the last time that we shall hear that glorious sound upon our ear. Come forth. If you're here this morning, if you're not a Christian, having studied God's Word on your own or with someone, and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, you're willing to repent and to be baptized based upon that belief, turning away from sin, a life of sin, and turning to Christ and giving your life to Him to be baptized for the remission, for the forgiveness of those sins. Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16 says we wash away. Arise and wash away thy sins, Paul was told. If you're here as a Christian, need our prayers, wish to rededicate your life to Christ, why not come forth this morning as we stand to sing?